While you still have your hymnals out, I'd encourage you to turn to page 323 in your hymnal. Since today is the day of Pentecost, it might be appropriate to just look at what we confess about this Holy Spirit before we look at His Word as well. The third article of the Apostles' Creed has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that third article, and I encourage you to read with me, what does this mean? So this is page 323, under the words, third article. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? And we say together, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And so Pentecost is a pretty important day because the Holy Spirit does a whole lot of work for us on this earth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today is Pentecost, a day in which God sent His Holy Spirit to this earth. Not just to live among people, to inspire them to do great things, but to live in, with, under, above, beside us, any word you want to use. He's in us, with us, doing His work, leading and guiding His people on His behalf, giving us His word to speak, His truth to speak, His message. So we would have the gift of the forgiveness of sins, then that's no little thing. And through the gift of the forgiveness of sins, we would have one thing that nobody else in the history of the world can promise, that our bodies, even though dead, will be raised to a physical resurrection. That's an amazing thing to think about. Christians and non-Christians have gone to great lengths to figure out, define, understand, wrap their brains around this Holy Spirit. What? Who? How? Where is this Holy Spirit? And so today I'd like to begin by saying what this Holy Spirit is not. Because when humans try to understand or wrap their mind or rationalize the Holy Spirit, just as God the Father or God the Son, usually it leads down paths that are not necessarily true and lead to less comfort. So first of all, the Holy Spirit is not a holy energy or a holy power or like the Force in Star Wars. There was this one Good Friday. I remember it was Good Friday. I was not married to Aaron yet. I was sitting in my apartment studying for one of my comp exams, reading my Greek and Hebrew. I had to do all that stuff. And there was a knock on the door. And I'm thinking, nobody's ever knocked on my door. So I was wondering who would it be on a Good Friday. I opened the door, and there were two men there. And they asked me the question, do you think the world's going to get any better? And I said, no. And they were surprised by that. Not until Jesus, the true God and Savior of the world, comes back to the earth. I knew who they were, and they were not expecting that answer. And then right away, the one guy said, well, Jesus is not God. And I said, well, I believe He is, along with God the Holy Spirit and God the Father. And they said, well, God the Holy Spirit's not God. And I said, well, I believe He is. And they said, well, can we come in and talk to you about that? I said, sure, come on and talk about it. So they sat down, and they began to tell me, the one gentleman began to tell me, that the Holy Spirit's not really the Holy Spirit, He's just God's energy. And that I don't know the original language, but if I did, I would know that it's a mistranslation of the Bible. And I said, really, what passage are you talking about? So he picks a passage, and then I got my Greek and Hebrew out, and I said, how about I read it to you? And he didn't know what to say to that. The word is not holy energy. It's not holy power. The word power is used in the Greek language for the gospel. The word is dynamis, and it's the word that we use for dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite, the Bible says, but the Holy Spirit is not the holy dynamite of God. It's the holy pneuma, the Holy Spirit. If God wanted to reveal himself as a holy dynamite, he would have chosen a different word. That's the great thing about language and the biblical language. We know it's the holy pneuma, the Holy Spirit, and not the holy dynamite. So God, the Holy Spirit, is not just the energy or force or power of God. That demotes the Holy Spirit. And second, now hold on for this one. Just relax. The Holy Spirit is not a Holy Ghost. Now this is a fascinating title, especially since we Christians are the ones who have called him Holy Ghost. Now, we have hymns and songs where we call him a Holy Ghost, and we don't mean anything bad by that. So we still sing Holy Ghost. I think the reason we still sing Holy Ghost is because it's one syllable, and it's easier to sing than Holy Spirit. But where did this word Holy Ghost come from originally? When did the church start talking about Holy Ghost? Well, it looks like it started in the Middle Ages, because certain theologians or pastors had trouble reconciling that the Holy Spirit given at Pentecost in the New Testament was the same as the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. For some reason, they were conflicted that they could be the same. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament was so great and magnificent that he couldn't be the same. But this, too, is an error. The Bible does not call the Holy Spirit the Holy Phantasma, which is the Greek word for ghost. When the disciples are on a boat and they see Jesus walking on the water, they see what they think is a phantasma, the word we use for phantom, and they think it's a ghost. But that's not the word used for Holy Spirit, pneuma. Nor is the Holy Spirit just a soul, a psuche. He is not just the ghost or the soul, a part of God the Father or God the Son. He is distinct, of a distinct person. And there's no reason to suggest that the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in the New Testament is different than the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. In fact, if you look at the Pentecost sermon in which Peter preached, what does he cite? The Old Testament. He talks about the prophecy in Joel that one day God's Spirit would be poured out on all people. And what happens on Pentecost? He preaches the word and over 3,000 people repent and are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's the same Spirit as in the Old Testament. The same Spirit that was hovering over the waters at creation in the second verse of the Bible. And is it interesting? I think it is. That the same Spirit of God that hovers over water at creation is the same Spirit in the New Testament that hovers over water recreating us by the Word of God. So, not a power, energy, not a ghost or a soul, and certainly not just the third thing, a wind, a holy wind. I marvel at when people talk about the Holy Spirit as the holy wind. Where did that come from? Some have referred to him as the holy wind, perhaps picking up on the fact that at Pentecost there was a great wind that came into Jerusalem. And when the wind came into Jerusalem, the disciples began to speak in different languages. Perhaps people pick up or point to this wind word because they want to see something that they can touch, feel, measure. You can see the effects of the wind. You can feel the wind. You can measure the wind. But again, in this Pentecost account, there are two different words. The word for the wind that comes into Jerusalem and the word for the Holy Spirit, the pneuma that comes upon people to cause them to believe in Jesus. Calling the Holy Spirit a holy wind or just a breath of God, again, demotes the Holy Spirit from being actually God and just a part of God or something from God, something rather than some being or divine person. And so simply to sum up so far what I'm trying to say is I think it's best to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit, as the Bible suggests. So what is he still? Who is he? Well, historically, the Christian church has spoken and confessed the Holy Spirit to be a person of God, being equal, co-equal, co-powerful, co-eternal to God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. All one God, but three distinct persons. Now, I'm not going to get into trying to explain all that right now, because I could do that for 15, 20 hours, and guess what? I still won't understand it rationally. It is a mystery. It's a beautiful mystery. But let's talk a little bit about how this Holy Spirit and why we know this Holy Spirit is a person. The Bible calls him a person. For instance, in the book of Acts, the same book that has the Pentecost account, we are told that you can lie to the Holy Spirit. Peter charges Ananias with allowing Satan to lead him to lie to the Holy Spirit. You can't lie to an energy or a wind or a force, but you can lie to a person or a being. And according to Peter, according to the Bible, you can lie to the Holy Spirit. Second, if you don't like Peter's words, let's look at Jesus. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, what did he command the church to do? Go and make disciples of all nations, correct? How? By baptizing them. And he gave specific directions on how to baptize. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why would Jesus have us baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit was just a breath, or an energy, or a ghost, or just a wind? Second, notice Jesus says, baptize in the name. He does not say, baptize in the names of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, nor does he say, baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Not three names, just one name. And that one name is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One name, three persons. And this is Jesus. And so it is for good biblical reason that the Christian church from the very beginning confesses that the Holy Spirit be a distinct person. Not a distinct God, but a distinct person. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Why else would we refer to the Holy Spirit as a person? Let's talk more about Jesus. How does Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit? He talks a lot about God the Father and a lot about God the Spirit. We don't have to make this stuff up. Let's just see what Jesus says. If you read the Gospel of John, for instance, chapters 14 through 17, take the afternoon and read three chapters a day, you'll find out how often Jesus talks about the Spirit. And why is he talking about the Spirit, his Spirit, and specifically the Holy Spirit, he says. Why is he talking about the Holy Spirit in chapters 14 to 17? Because he's about to be handed over to be betrayed. He's about to die and rise and leave the disciples, leave this earth. And so he says, I'm going to send to you the Paraclete, translated the helper or comforter in some translations. I'm going to send you him, and he is going to help you. Not an it. I'm going to send you this Paraclete, and he's going to comfort and help you. That's what Jesus says. He will be with you forever, Jesus says. I'm not going to leave you. When you see me die and rise and ascend, I'm not leaving you because I'm sending you him. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I will be with you forever because I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And if you're wondering when I leave, if you can remember what I have taught you, don't worry about that. He will teach you all things. You will remember what I've taught you because He will teach you. Jesus speaks about this Holy Spirit as a helper, a comforter. That's great, great comfort to us today. In a world where we feel so alone sometimes to be a Christian, when Christians are persecuted, when there's so many truths out there, it looks like. What really is the truth? It's a comfort that Jesus sent His Holy Spirit, not His ghost, not a wind, not a power or some abstract energy, but His Holy Spirit to be with us always. We're never alone. And to guide us in all truth with His Word. We don't have to figure it out. His Holy Spirit will lead us and teach us. And how will we do that? Well, Jesus calls this Holy Spirit the Counselor. The Counselor. He is a Holy Counselor. And how will He counsel? Jesus tells us exactly how. He will bear witness to Me, Jesus says. He will tell you about Me. He will guide you in all truth. What did Jesus call Himself? I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the truth. He will guide you in truth. And then finally, Jesus says, He will bring glory to Me. So the Holy Spirit will talk all about Jesus. And if you're talking about Jesus and hearing about Jesus, you don't need to go far in looking for the Holy Spirit. Especially if He is convicting about sin and teaching in righteousness, as Jesus says the Holy Spirit will do. When the Holy Spirit talks about sin and forgiveness of sin, when the Holy Spirit talks about life and everlasting life, you know the Holy Spirit is there. In this world where there's so much confusion and people want to know where God is. You drive down 94, there was a church, I don't know if that Stein is still there, but it said, God is still speaking to us. I agree. He is speaking to us through His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks through His Word, and the Holy Spirit speaks about Jesus. That's how you know you're not alone. When you hear about Jesus, when you see about Jesus. This morning I woke up, I was talking to somebody out in the narthex. It was a beautiful, glorious morning. Just a light yellow haze. And I looked outside and I saw the stuff coming down. It was rain. And it wasn't going sideways. It was just a nice, beautiful rain. It was raining on all my flowers perfectly. And as I got in the car and drove away, there was a beautiful rainbow above my house. And I could have thought, wow, God's telling me something. I think He was telling me something. He was saying, remember the rainbow I gave to Noah? And I told Noah I would never destroy the earth again. This rainbow is for you too, Mark. And so is this rain for your flowers. Enjoy the day. Oh, and by the way, I love you very much. And look at the cross to see that. Taste and see My body and blood today. And you will feel and experience My love for you, My Son Jesus. You don't have to look far. It's not rocket science. Jesus has already given us everything we have and everything we need, and He's given us His Holy Spirit. Not a wind, not a power, not an energy, not a ghost, but a third person of God to lead us and guide us and point us not just to a rainbow in the sky, but to an empty cross and an empty tomb, to His Word that's already been spoken and sealed in the empty cross and the empty tomb. And you can't beat that. And so here goes our prayer. What we just sang, Holy Spirit, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Chase the shades of night away, turn the darkness into day. Let me see my Savior's face. Let me all His beauties trace. Show those glorious truths to me, which are only known to Thee. Holy Spirit, power divine, cleanse this guilty heart of mine. In Thy mercy, pity me. From sin's bondage, set me free. Holy Spirit, joy divine, cheer this saddened heart of mine. Yield a sacred, settled peace. Let it grow and still increase. Holy Spirit, all divine, dwell within this heart of mine. Cast down every idol throne. Reign supreme and reign alone. In Jesus' name, amen.